And welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Also, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy is with us on this edition. And we've been to this subject before, Bill, but I'm coming back to the corporate wokies. There's a mass disconnect between corporate wokies and the rank and file in this country. And I want to touch on this one more time. This is interesting. Coca-Cola shareholders voted down a resolution advocating divestiture from pro-life states. That means that they were going to divest from investments in the states that were more pro-life. And so that was the resolution. It was voted down by a vote of 87 to 13, which is really impressive.
Wow.
But at the same time, you got the boardrooms in American corporations gone woke. A full 75% of the largest 15 companies of the U.S. have got a 100% perfect score on the HRC.org woke survey. Also, two-thirds of nations 500 largest companies, that is what, about 67% of the Fortune 500s, companies provide transgender inclusive health insurance, up from 3% just 13 years ago. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. That's a 20-fold increase in wokiness in just 13 years. You got to admit, that's pretty impressive. I'm not sure we've ever seen a time at which the progressiveness of the modern agenda has worked so quickly.
Yeah.
This is pretty amazing. I mean, as a 20-fold increase in the wokeification, I'm just throwing out words.
Yeah.
That's a 20-fold increase in the wokeification
of
American
corporations.
Because
the other side just makes up words.
Yeah, they make it up as they go as well.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty impressive. Also, there is such a disconnect here. I mean, you think about the 87-13%, basically taking a pro-life position, the Coca-Cola shareholders. Meantime, 70 to 75% of the corporate boards have gone almost full woke.
Right. There's such pressure from those who control the purse strings, and boards are not immune to that. Boards of corporations are not immune to that. And so I'm not... We got to understand that money talks, okay?
Yeah.
And those who control the financing will have impact on even boards on which sit very influential people.
And Bill, I have to say that you use the word pressure, and I think the pressure is not just financial. It's got to be spiritual.
Right.
There's got to be spiritual pressures put to bear here. As you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So certainly this applies to the corporate world as well as to the political world. Here's the phenomenon, friends. The market isn't running this thing. Okay, it's not the rank and file. It's not the grassroots. The principalities and powers have somehow gained control of media, education, corporations, and politics, always taking it far to the left. The principalities and demonic powers that control the systems are always far more evil than the rank and file. So in terms of process, Bill, I think this is basically what has happened. Principalities and powers set out saying, we've got to destroy the faith in America. We've got to find some way to bring America down to effectively ruin a civilization. How do we do it? Well, the first thing they had to do is gain control of education. They effectively had that completed by 1900.
Yeah.
By the time they got control of Princeton, I would put the point at which Woodrow Wilson takes the presidency of Princeton University being the point at which the principalities and powers had almost complete control over the American higher educational system. So that they gained control of education first by 1900. I would say they gained control of the media by about 1960.
Hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
Media wasn't exactly in the hands of the leftists in the 1890s. I mean, you look at the media, they were doing exposés on abortionists in New York City in 1890. You know, you still had something of conservatism about media, even well into the 1800s and early 1900s. But I would say by 1960, the principalities and powers had almost complete control over the media. We've made the argument that Fox News showed up in 1994, took 6% of the market. But then again, Fox News has been almost entirely compromised. So that leaves us with about 2%. So I would say the media had gained almost complete control by 1960. Rush Limbaugh and the Fox News syndicate had something of a comeback, but it was not much of a comeback to speak of. Okay, so they controlled the media by 1960. They gained control of the courts and politics by the Warren Court. I would say by 1973, it was over for courts and politics. They gained control of the corporations by 2020. So it's interesting that it did take a few extra years to get control of the corporations, of all the major corporations, and that's occurred in the last 13 years. What do we say? From 3% to 67% of the Fortune 500 companies controlled now by wokeism. Wokeism being everything that is opposed to Christ and to his law.
It is amazing to me that it's taken that long to undo what Christianity has benefited society.
At least 100 years.
Yeah, at least 100 years. Mm-hmm. And so we shouldn't fall into despair.
No.
Because we have the truth and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We just need to, as Christians, get louder in economics. We need to get louder in entertainment. We need to get louder in government. We need to get louder in law, in science. Now, by that, I mean we need to press the truth. And we don't have to get rude and crude. We just get louder. We have retreated in the culture. We have retreated to the four walls of the church.
Good words. And here's one more thing, Bill. What they're doing is destroying a civilization.
Yes.
They're bringing it all down. So, you know, okay, so these guys have a destruction crew, and they coming out bringing wrecking balls on societies, economies, etc. Okay, so that's what they do. That's not what we do.
No.
We build back.
We build.
Yeah.
We don't destroy.
They bring it down. We build it back. And we build it back on the only foundation possible, and that's the foundation of God's truth. That's the only foundation upon which to build good science, good economy, etc. Read the story, friends, for what's going on. You need to understand that we have an important role over the next 100 years to build back what's been destroyed. I mean, should Christ tarry? Now, I don't take on a very explicit eschatological perspective on the program, only because I don't nail down the point of Christ's second coming. But I do say that we have a responsibility to disciple the nations, continue the work. He gave us the mission, stay on it for the next 1,000 years if necessary. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Hey friends, you've heard me say for months now that the Colorado Father-Son Retreat is filling up. Some of you are still on the fence on this. Maybe you're thinking the summer is a long way away, but hear me again. Both weekends are filling up right now, so don't miss out. Join me, Kevin Swanson, and hundreds of other dads and sons at the Colorado Father-Son Retreat. Here's what Randy, one of the dads from last year's retreat, is saying. This is an experience your son will remember for the rest of his life. Take the time, dads, get away. Be present in your son's life. You know, I agree with Randy. Take the time to be present in your son's life. Summer will be upon us in no time. Invest in your relationship with your son this summer by attending the Colorado Father-Son Retreat in the Colorado Rockies. With games, archery, zip line, worship, interesting upbuilding messages, great food, and dedicated time with your son, can you think of anything that would be more valuable to do this summer? Hey guys, go to ColoradoFatherSon.com right now and register today before it's too late. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we're back on Generations. Kevin Swanson here with Bill Jack in studio. And I read David Stockman from time to time. I think he was in rare form in this article. You can sign up on his website. Just do a search for David Stockman. You'll find his website, but you've got to pay for it for most of the articles, as I recall. All right, so this is what David Stockman wrote, and I think it ties directly into the subject that we've been discussing on this program. We are not sure what the Murdochs were smoking last Monday morning when they shot the immensely profitable Fox News channel in the kneecaps, but we do know that Tucker Carlson was one of a kind among commentators in the vast journalistic wasteland, otherwise known as television news. Now, this guy can write. He can write. The vast journalistic wasteland, otherwise known as television news. Okay.
Shot themselves in the kneecaps.
They sure did. They sure did.
Not just in the foot, but in the kneecaps.
Indeed, on issue after issue in recent years, Tucker tread forthrightly, whereas MSM, mainstream media competitors in both print and broadcast media, feared to go. Perhaps that was because he was deeply informed, historically read, and literate. and possessed of an incisive, open, inquisitive mind that was not about to play passive stenographer to either the deep state or the lobbies and corporate interests that suffuse the Washington Beltway. Accordingly, Tucker has been nearly alone in smoking out the big issues of our time, with a unique breadth, edge, and consistency that neither Republican shills like Sean Hannity nor DNC conduits like Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow could ever hope to approach. I'm just reading some segments of this, but we're going to get to the main point in just a moment. There was also the matter of Fox Corporation's 15% shareholder, which may have tied into the firing of Tucker Carlson. We're referring to BlackRock and its asset manager, Kin, and the whole politicization of finance and markets, which has forced upon the world, led by the hideous scam called ESG and the implicit decarbonization-based industrial suicide on which it was predicated. Tucker Carlson took them on, even as the natural venue for this issue, CNBC and Fox Business, the business networks, remained largely mute. In other words, Tucker Carlson was willing to go up against BlackRock and all of this, you know, politically correct environmental garbage that's supposed to be running modern corporations.
Right.
Still amidst the daily gong show that passes for politics, finance, media, news in America, and the radio silence on all these crucial matters among the MSM, there was one reassuring fact, and here it was. Tucker's average nightly viewership at about 3.25 million during the first quarter of 2023 was more than 1.6 times the combined 2.03 million of lobotomized lefties and or liberal sheeples that tuned in to Anderson Cooper, CNN, and the All In with Chris Hayes show, MSNBC, during the 8 p.m. slot. Needless to say, Tucker's audience isn't going to vanish. But that is to say, the big spark of revolt against the mainstream establishment ignited by Tucker Carlson is going to have legs, even as his shocking cancellation reminds us that today's rulers will stop at nothing when it comes to preserving their power and pelf. And that includes economic asphyxiation by means of politics-based, not market-based, corporate actions. And this is what's really interesting. We're coming down to the politics-based, not market-based, corporate actions that are taking place, which includes the firing of Tucker from Fox News. That is, Tucker Carlson should be an advertiser's goldmine, but apparently the kind of woke deputy assistant marketing directors that savaged their own employers at Budweiser, Nike, and Disney, among others, had been hard at work promoting boycotts of the Carlson brand long before the ballyhooed settlement with Dominion Voting Systems. So, in other words, it's not just Fox News. It's been, you know, Nike and Budweiser and Disney. A commentator at American Thinker, for example, has suggested that Tucker's massive viewership was not translating fully into ad dollars due to a de facto boycott by woke corporate America. According to the author Seth Grossman, a particularly heated Carlson diatribe on immigration, which aired in December of 2018, was actually the beginning of the end. Within days, at least 26 mainstream corporate sponsors publicly announced that they would no longer sponsor the Tucker Carlson show. These sponsors included Career Builder, Takeda Pharmaceuticals, TD Ameritrade, IHOP, the United Explorer Credit Card, Just for Men, Jaguar Land Rover, Voya Financial, Nautilus Incorporated for Bowflex, Mint Mobile Cruise Lines for Norwegian, Red Lobster, Farmers Insurance, Samsung, SodaStream, Sandusk, et cetera, et cetera. When these sponsors left, Tucker Carlson had only second-tier sponsors paying much lower rates. Okay, they included MyPillow, Relief Factor, and Granite Stone Pots and Pans. The Tucker Carlson program may have had a superstar primetime audience, but it had the income of something like a 1970s late night TV show sponsored by Vegemite and Ginsu knives. Okay, so that's what he wound up with, Ginsu knives and Vegemite.
They
sliced
and diced him.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Money from second-tier advertisers alone cannot sustain a primetime TV program on a major network very long, although Tucker Carlson was on the air until last week. It was doomed since December of 2018. Anyway, the article goes on. There's no mystery of how the likes of Dylan Mulvaney knocked what is now 21% off Bud Light's sales with such alacrity when Coors and Miller have failed for years to nibble away even a fraction of that plunge, or that national advertisers have been taking a pass on the best rated news show on cable TV. To wit, decision makers in corporate America are so deep in Fed enabled stock options clover that they are not resolutely attending to business and are allowing the ideological and political infatuations of their younger wokish staffs to stand in the way of profit maximization. In a word, a corporation desperate for higher profits in order to earn a higher share price would have never put the hideous face of Dylan Mulvaney on a can of their beer, nor be confronted with this kind of news story. So what we need is a good old-fashioned stock market crash in one fell swoop that would wake up the corporate C-suites and trigger a massive purge of the woke staff's operations and costs, which are now eating away at profits and undermining corporate brands and assets. Regardless of how long that reckoning takes to materialize, and it will happen, it is certain that Tucker Carlson will soon have a new and better platform when the stock options of the Fortune 500 C-suites go to zero. They will stampede their ad dollars to Tucker's new venue. After all, capitalists are not bamboozled by vastly inflated stock prices. Histrionically, put their advertising dollars where the audiences were, and they soon will do that again. All right, so that's the article. So what's happened here? What's going on here? The woke controllers and handlers of our world have overextended themselves. They sacrificed the free market and the altar of political correctness. They've abandoned all rationality when it comes to sex change operations and the value of Apple. Apple is way, way overvalued. So we have two issues going on at the same time, and it's all irrational. It's just insanity. The entire corporate world is embedded in insanity. Their stock prices are insane. Their decisions in terms of what to sponsor, you know, whether to sponsor Tucker Carlson, just insane. They're giving way to insanity at every point. For example, I brought this out recently. Apple Computer made the most aggressive use of stock buybacks in the early 2020s to artificially prop up their own stock values, putting an unprecedented $85.5 billion into purchasing their own stock shares in 2021. In part, this is what contributed to an explosion of the company's stock value. So the stock value for Apple went from $38 in 2019 to $182 by the end of 2021, a fourfold increase, but the company's sales increased only 40% from $260 billion to $366 billion over the same period. So their business was up 40%. Their stock value went up 400%. What gives? That's a tenfold increase. All just fake. It's just a fake increase in value in the perception of the investors. Guys, it's just a house of cards. This thing's just a facade. It really doesn't reflect any kind of real value. Don't forget, Apple led the stock buybacks again last year with another $90 billion in stock buybacks just to prop up their worthless stock. In 2016, Apple stock was $23. Today, Apple is $164. That's what, a 700% increase on your money in 7 years. It's totally ridiculous. Hyperinflated, faux value. The whole market is being run by a sleight of hand. It's all a pretense, guys. It's just a fraud. We absolutely need a crash to correct for any of this. The NASDAQ needs to come down to, I'd say, about 3,000 from 12,000 before any sensible person should ever get back into investing in the stock market. So this thing's got to come down at least 75%. It's at roughly 12,000 now. Once it's corrected to 3,000, it might be worth throwing a few dollars in that direction. But friends, I think we're at the point at which it's all pretend value. They're all pretend ethics, as if, you know, sex change operations for seven-year-olds are a good idea. The same insane mind that's doing that is the insane mind that's doing the stock buybacks for Apple and propping up the Apple value and investing in this ridiculous company.
Ideas have consequences economically. Ideas have consequences politically. And ideas have consequences corporately.
You know what came to my mind as I was reading these stories and thinking through this, Bill, is Isaiah chapter 1. I think in biblical terms, yeah, we're due for a stock market crash, big time. I mean, probably the biggest stock market crash of all time. We're due for the biggest apocalyptic economic debacle that we've ever experienced. And I would say the nation is super ripe for judgment. Here's Isaiah 1, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked him to anger, the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it. But wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, they have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Hear the words of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? Bring no more of your futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies can't endure this iniquity, the sacred meeting. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious, companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Your hands are full of blood. Therefore, the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries. I will take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. And Bill, this is the kind of thing that God brings upon nations. I think it still happens. I think this pretty much summarizes the NASDAQ, the Federal Reserve, with its $7 trillion of quantitative easing, the abortion-laden society, hands full of blood, the billion-dollar campaign donations paying for candidates to distribute half of the nation's income, et cetera, et cetera. Bill, this is us. Isaiah 1 is exactly what we're doing. And, you know, we're ripe for judgment on this.
Yeah.
And at some point, pencils down, time's up.
Yeah. You can't undo what has been done, and God is not mocked on this. So we are ripe for judgment. We just need to pray for God's mercy for the sake of our nation, yes, for the sake of our children, certainly, but for the sake of the cause of Christ and for the remnant who still remain faithful and will proclaim truth and grace.
Well, I before I'm done, I want to answer the question. What are God's people to do? What are God's people to do? What are you to do? What am I to do? How do we apply this to you and me?
We do what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to teach all that he commanded. And so we continue to do what we're called to do. It's we're to go and make disciples.
Well, in Isaiah 1 says, seek justice, defend the widow, the fatherless, etc., stand for those that are being destroyed by these evil forces. And here's Revelation 18. I came upon this as I was prepping for this program. Revelation 18 speaks of Babylon or Rome so many years ago, but we can make application. I think we make an application of Revelation 18 for, this is where, you know, the harlot Babylon's coming down and all that. But here's what the word says to us in Revelation 18, verse 4. Come out of her, my people. So there it is. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven. God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her justice she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come upon her in one day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. So two things that I get out of this verse 4, I get first, mark her sins. So pay attention, which is what we try to do on the program, right?
Yeah.
Mark her sins, okay? We're keeping track. But secondly, don't share in her sins. Don't share in her sins. So I think that's just a simple application here. Don't share in it. Don't be a part of it. The quick buck. The sexual sin, the abortifacients, the shedding of innocent blood, et cetera, et cetera. God's people should have nothing to do with any of this. When you sense you're on the cusp of judgment, what are you going to do? Well, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself spiritually. Take on the whole armor of God. Ready access to the gospel, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, helmet of hope, of eternal glory, the shield of faith. Pray without ceasing. Prayer meetings should be packed. Our prayer meeting should be packed out right now. Prayer should be a constant. While I breathe, I pray. That needs to be it. Get your kingdom vision straight. Disciple your family. Absolutely. Teach your sons and your daughters the book of Proverbs. Invest in discipleship. Disciple, disciple, disciple. Build the covenantal church. Feed the orphan and widow yourself. Don't turn them over to the state for euthanasia. Just don't do that. Social Security is going to fail. The church needs to engage. Keep your eye on the mission. We continue to disciple the nations no matter what. And that's exactly what Bill just said. All right. Be ready. That's the spiritual prep plan. If you're a spiritual prepper, that's where we start right there. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, friends. Encourage you to my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, especially the chapter on economics, Rise and Fall of Western Economy. And you'll find that in the book Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.